Before starting this lecture, I would really like to find out what you know about Balaram. When you think about Lord Balaram, what are the memories which come to your mind? From Balaram, there are four expansions. One is Mahavishnu, says Ram Gopal. Oli remembers that Balaram is actually Lakshman. When Lord Ramachandra went to exile with accompanied by his wife Sita and his younger brother Lakshman, he sent away after exile, he sent away his own wife Sita, which was actually when she was pregnant with two boys. Lakshman had to drive the chariot to bring Mother Sita into the forest. And when this tore Lakshman's heart apart, and he came back and said to Ramachandra, "Good, in this incarnation you are my older brother whom I have to follow, but in the next incarnation I will be your older brother. Then you have to follow me. I will not do this any longer." So Uli reminds us that Balaram is also Lakshman. Sadanandi. Sadanandi remembers that usually Lord Balaram accompanies Lord Krishna every day when Krishna goes into the forest. That's quite a scene, my dear devotees, when Krishna with all the cowherd boys go, then they all blow into their bugles and horns, they laugh and joke like anything. Krishna's friends are always joking with him, and the gopis go on the street and offer aratiks with their glances to Krishna and also to Balaram. But on one day, Balaram did not go. That was his birthday. And he stayed back. And it was during this day that Brahma stole all the cowherd boys. If Balaram would have been there, it would not have been possible. So Sadanandi also remembers that Balaram gives the spiritual strength which is required for spiritual advancement. Any other? I will look around. Matajis feel they are properly represented by Sadanandi. Yes, Gaura Shiromani. Balaram is Sevaka Bhagavan, that is the Lord who engages in service. In order to facilitate Krishna's wonderful pastimes, so that Krishna can absorb himself totally and completely in these pastimes, Lord Balaram facilitates everything and makes all the arrangements. We even hear that he expands into the holy dham in which the pastimes of Lord Krishna take place. He takes on many different expansions. But although he does so, he and is expanding in so many forms and so on, he is also sometimes forgetting himself that he is the Lord. And like when Lord Brahma had stolen all the cowherd boys, he was bewildered. And Krishna had expanded himself into a new set of cowherd boys. At that time, Brahma did not recognize that these are new boys. He thought they are the same. He was bewildered, in other words. Now, Anandini has also an answer, I can see. Yes, who is Balaram? Yes. Anandini brings another aspect. He said he's almost never confused. Confused, it may be better to say, yes, we use this word, but it may be better to say he's never covered by the, in the same way as Krishna is covered by his Leela Shakti. Krishna always is understood by his elder brother Balaram, who always knows what he wants and what he needs and what he and so on. It's said that Balaram really has, in relationship to Krishna, two rasas. One is a friendly or brotherly rasa, but another rasa is a vatsalya rasa. He feels like a parent feels towards his child, like Siddheshwari will always know what is in the mind of Satya, isn't it? Almost. Yeah. You know, when she cries, you know what is the reason. When she is very angry, you know what is the reason. And every move, you also feel where she is when you don't find her immediately. This is a vatsalya, a parental mood, gives you a certain understanding of the person who is whom you protect, whom you take care. So Balaram also has this mood towards his younger brother Krishna. Mm-hmm. There was one last, I think, Wortmeldung. No, yes, as Anandini said, he's also Adi Guru. All right, now we have heard many definitions. I will go into a very interesting aspect of Lord Balaram today. You will not believe your mind. Oh, it's so... Mm-hmm. Here's a very nice verse in the 5th canto, chapter 25, text 9, translation. It describes actually one other form of Lord Balaram, that is Anantashesha. By his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. It's very interesting, isn't it? Sometimes a very powerful personality will have his subordinates and he will give them a glance and then they begin to act. We sometimes see a spiritual master just looking at his disciple and the disciple starts to goes out and comes back with his reading glasses or something like this, because there's such a relationship that the glance is sufficient. So Krishna, the Lord, moves the whole, orchestrates the whole material nature just by glancing. Everything moves. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless. And although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society ever understand the ways of the Supreme? And Prabhupada comments, from Vedic literature we learn that when the Supreme Lord glances over the material energy, Saikshata, the three modes of material nature become manifest and create material variety. Before he glances over the material energy, there is no possibility of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material world. The Lord existed before the creation and consequently he is eternal and unchanging. Therefore, how can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Later, Prabhupada starts to quote many verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat about the glories of this form of the Lord who controls the whole material environment. This is a form of Lord Balaram, and I would like to read a few for you. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is a servant of God, a Vaishnava. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can understand him fully. Then the verses continue to describe that Narada Muni on his tumburu instrument, it's like a veena, glorifies with 1,000 mouths Lord Ananta Shesha. Then a little later it says, on his head Ananta Deva sustains the entire universe with its millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. He is so large and powerful that this universe rests on one of his hooves, just like a drop of water. He does not know where it is. When we have, you imagine there's something so small on our head that we don't know where it is, then we have the right understanding of Lord Balaram. The universe, which makes us, gives us a lot of headache, is so small that it rests on one of his many expansions, Lord Ananta Dev, and this expansion does know where is it here. This tells you something of the greatness of Lord Balaram, and I would say also the greatness of the spiritual reality. The Lord does not know where the universe is. It's very unimportant. Of course, here in Goloka Dham, many of us have a different understanding of the universe, and we say it's important because I can get my lessons which I require to advance further in my spiritual evolution from this world. And that perspective is certainly also true. That's also an important perspective. In spiritual understanding, it's possible that different understandings exist parallel to each other, and a flexible or spiritual mind is able to understand them all, or to some degree. Yes. The last verse is a little bit about this a subject matter. Of the chapter. Yes. So Lord Balaram is known as the elder brother of Lord Krishna, and today is his appearance day. Let us glorify him and understand more about this elder brother of our most worshipable Lord Shri Madan Mohan. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Doravani Pacharine. Dravishesha Shunyavadi. Paskachyade Satarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Advaita Garada. Naya Sadigo Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. The ontological understanding of Lord Balaram, das ist seine seinsbezogene Identität, is that he is the first expansion of Lord Krishna, and therefore practically identical with him. If you would like to have a philosophical understanding, you can imagine Krishna to be here, then when he steps one step to the side, that is Lord Balaram, like you can see in this very nice photo which the pujaris have put before the altar. You see, just next to Lord Balaram, next to Lord Krishna, his first expansion, Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is extremely strong and powerful, and we have described his power in relationship to the material world. He appears as Ananta Shesha, and in this form he carries all the planets. He is, so to say, scientifically spoken, the origin of the gravitational force which keeps the planets in their orbit and in their place. It's really Lord Balaram who does this. He's the greatest possible strength. In relationship to the Antaranga Shakti, he's also very strong. He takes care of the whole spiritual manifestation in the kingdom of the Lord. And he helps the Lord in his pastimes so that Krishna can just enjoy. Balaram takes care of the spiritual manifestation there. This also means something very important for those conditioned souls who have woken up to spiritual understanding, like you who have gathered this morning in this temple room. Yes, you are, we all, I would say, I want to include myself also, we are all in this world, and we have certainly a material body and a material mind, but we also have a deeply spiritual desire and a deeply spiritual, let me say, concern in our lives. We want to somehow be victorious in the real adventure of the human form of life. The real adventure of the human form of life is to make that journey. That journey which is a journey in consciousness, which will bring us to full Krishna consciousness. And to make this journey really successful, you have to get help from above. Alone, it's not possible for any conditioned soul to make this journey and overcome all the obstacles, especially the false ego, which binds the soul since time immemorial to this material world. Some of you have heard it. I would like to give a personal example from my life. I forgot the year when it was, because when I returned back, I was almost dead. I made a journey maybe 6 years ago to the sacred mountain of Kailash. I needed to make this journey because I had to solve a very existential crisis in my life, and I required the insight which I could not get in my own. I needed help from Lord Krishna, and I decided to approach Krishna through his dearest devotee, Lord Shiva. So I went to the sacred mountain of Kailash. I trained for 2 weeks to be able to survive in this high altitude in the Himalayan mountains. I walked around in an area where there were leopards. I still remember that. It was near Nainital. And then we were ready to embark on a journey, which on the first day, imagine the first day, we were 4,800 meters high. It was like, and you don't know how the body reacts to this. On the third day of the journey, I was so sick. I will only give you a little description. I was lying half-dressed in the snow in Tibet. I had lost all my bodily liquids through all the holes of my body, noses, mouth, and everything else. And I was lying in the snow, and I had fainted a few times, and I prayed to Lord Shiva, please, if you ask me now if I still want to go to Mount Kailash, my answer is yes, because I don't know how I will survive my life in Germany if I don't have an answer to the question. And then I felt, now it's up to supreme control. I can't move any longer. I was, the devotees found me a little later, and then I was dressing properly, and then I went near a fire, and yes, and then after a few hours, I could continue the journey. But all the time when I was traveling, I remember that many people had died on this journey, and I was also very weak by nature. And I prayed for physical strength to just make it. But for the ultimate journey, the spiritual journey, we require also support and strength. This strength will come to us by Lord Balaram or Sankarshan. It says here, this is from Prabhupada's writings, one cannot attain the Supreme, and not even any form of self-realization, without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarshan. What this really means is by the mercy of Lord Balaram, the Lord appears in the heart of the devotee. Let us quickly remember how Lord Krishna appeared in this world. He was the son of Devaki and Vasudev. On the day where Mother Devaki was married to Vasudev, Devaki's brother Kamsa affectionately drove Devaki and Vasudev to their house. See, when a girl or a woman, young woman, marries in India, she leaves her house for good, that means the house of the parents, and goes to the house of the husband. And usually it's a very tearful scene. Everyone cries. The parents cry, the young lady cries, the neighbors cry, because it's actually a departure. It's an initiation rite into a new form of life, the life of a married woman. And to really show this, that it's now a new abschnitt, a new cut in one's life, yes, the woman leaves the house. Krishna. So her brother Kamsa was thinking, oh, my brother is so dear to me, she will certainly feel much better if I, the brother, drive the chariot than if any chariot driver does this. Then she feels at least a little bit homely that her brother is still with her. And they were driving, and you have heard the story many times. There was a voice, a prophetic voice from the sky, calling Kamsa a fool because he was driving his sister, who would give birth to a child which would kill Kamsa. We all know how Kamsa reacted. He was quite selfish. He was demoniac, we understand from the literature. He turned around and wanted to kill Devaki so that the fruit of her womb, ihre Leibesfrucht, could not kill him. He raised his sharp sword and was just about to sever the head of Devaki, when Vasudev prevented him and said, no, don't do it. There is no benefit in slaying an innocent woman. Women are to be protected. You know this. And as far as your fear is concerned, I will deliver all the children, when they are still infants, that is very small babies, so that you can kill them. This is my word of honor. You know I have never broken a word which I have given. So let your sister live, and if you wish, you can kill the children which come from this combination. Kamsa agreed. And then the children came. Sometimes you might ask, why did they not just remain celibate? If they knew, Vasudev and Devaki, that a child, that the children which they would have would be killed by Kamsa. Has this question sometimes appeared in your mind? Why have children if you know that the children will be killed for sure? Which parents would have children under such circumstances? But you must know, Vasudev and Devaki knew the mind of the Lord. They were great devotees, and they wanted to render this service to help the Lord appear in this world. So therefore, even under great personal pain, they gave birth to children. I don't know if you can understand what it means for parents, especially the mother, to have their children killed, the little infant. It's almost intolerable pain. It's so bad that if women nowadays in Kali Yuga, if they have it's a very unpleasant subject. Maybe I should not discuss the subject. I will not discuss it. It's very traumatic. It's very traumatic for the woman to lose a child. So it stays with her. All the children were killed, and then Devaki became pregnant for the 7 times, and this was Lord Balaram. Balaram appeared in her womb to purify her womb and make it a suitable place in which the Divine Lord could appear. Wonderful. It's almost like when a wonderful person comes, then maybe his secretary will go and put everything according to the needs, maybe a picture here and a sofa there, and just the right cushion for sleeping. So Balaram appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki to prepare it for her 8th pregnancy, which would be Lord Krishna. And then when he had done his service, he disappeared. Devaki thought, well, I had a child, and now I don't have a child any longer. Maybe it was a miscarriage, and I didn't notice it. But Balaram appeared into another of Vasudev's wives, that was Mother Rohini, who lived in exile in Vraj in order to be protected from Kamsa, and Rohini became pregnant. Whoop! Far out. And that was Lord Balaram who appeared in her womb. I understand. Some say she was already pregnant, but Balaram somehow merged with the child within her womb. I have not enough information to speak about it, so therefore let us stick on the safe path that Lord Balaram appeared in her womb, and then from her womb he took birth. Would you like to know how he looked? He had a white complexion, as white as a beautiful cloud. He had long arms, and his eyes were just so large that they looked like fully blossomed lotus flowers. He had beautiful shining nails. And when he appeared in Braj, all the saints came together, all the sadhus, and they chanted very loudly, something which you can also chant after me. Jai Baladev! Yeah, thank you. The devatas also appeared at that time and played on musical instruments. There was a flower shower, beautiful Yasmin and Malika flowers coming down and raining down. The whole earth looked white and yellow from the flower shower. And Vasudev, who knew about the birth of his son in the womb of Rohini, who was a wife of Vasudev, sent brahmanas to perform the jatakama, the birth ceremony for Lord Balaram. Yes. So just like then, Lord Balaram prepares us also now for the appearance of Lord Krishna. In the old time, when Lord Krishna appeared, Balaram equipped the womb with the proper circumstances so that the Lord could come. He put, so to say, the red carpet into Devaki, hat den roten Teppich ausgerollt, sozusagen, for his brother Lord Krishna, and then disappeared after he had done his service. So Lord Balaram comes also into our lives as in order to prepare our heart for receiving Lord Krishna. If you do not attain the mercy of Balaram, you cannot make Krishna appear in your heart. And what this practically means, I would like to talk about this in a very deep and spiritual way. In Goloka Dham, I have sometimes talked about the spiritual master, because I have such bad qualities, and devotees have sometimes felt very much moved after my talks. Maybe I did not express it properly. I will talk today again about the spiritual master, who is a visible manifestation of the Guru Tattva. I would like to say, because we have devotees amongst us, or devotees will listen to the tape or MP3, whose spiritual master for some reason or another is not with us not doing the service, that please look at this very philosophically. We will read from an ancient work. It's called Sanat Kumar Samhita, a very wonderful and deep work. And there it will say one should only take one time. One time only one should accept initiation into the worship of Krishna's feet. This is said by the wise. It's a statement, in other words, which says, if you have taken one time initiation in spiritual life, you are well off. You might think about a connection to a devotee who can inspire you in your spiritual life, but please keep this statement in mind. So, Sanat Kumar is the son of Lord Brahma, and he has spoken a verse, a scripture. It's called the Sanat Kumar Samhita, which describes in such detail spiritual subject matters that it's very, very wonderful to read. And here you will find a few verses now about the spiritual master and how he is necessary to bring us to Krishna. I'm thinking today on Balaram's appearance day about my relationship with my own spiritual master. And I am reading these verses as glorification to Srila Prabhupada, to you, who I see as a representative of Lord Nityananda and Lord Balaram. O Narada, please hear, and I will tell you about spiritual initiation. Simply by hearing of this, even without following this description, people can become liberated. Why? Because if we hear about the Guru Tattva, we hear about Lord Balaram, and we will get a very nice understanding about our lives. I would also request those of you who have taken initiation to think a little bit on this day on your own relationship with your spiritual master. O best of sages, O best of devotees in Goloka Dham, becoming aware that every place in the material world, from Brahmaloka down, is temporary and destined for destruction. A devotee should feel that there are three kinds of material sufferings, beginning with sufferings caused by one's own body and mind, and also seeing, and the devotee should see that all kinds of material happiness comes to an end and finally leads only to pain. In this way, a wise devotee renounces the world. He is no longer interested in the things of this world. Today we have Siddheshwari amongst us. Just yesterday, Siddheshwari's very rich father-in-law left the planet. And of course, she is very sad. Satya is sad, and human is very sad, because yes, we are confronted with, oh, everything is going away, in what world have I come, and so on. This is actually an important understanding for someone who wishes to make spiritual advancement. If you allow your mind to be so totally involved in the television show of this material world, which makes everything look so nice and so good, then it's very difficult to approach the Guru Tattva in the life. It's very difficult. Would you like to know the verse which a disciple before initiation chants according to Sanat Kumar Samhita? It has a lot to do with this mood. Oh, the world is not my home. The world is not my place. He says, O spiritual master of all the worlds, please rescue me. Save me. Why? For I am burning in the fire of repeated birth and death. This is how a devotee thinks. I'm bitten by the black snake of time. Please rescue me. Please save me from the ocean of birth and death. So the disciple or the spiritual person thinks I'm burning, and there's this time factor in my life. My life is slowly going about. So, a devotee who is, in this mood, no longer desires material enjoyment in this world, and he will start in some very careful ways. Careful ways is according to his level of attainment to sever the connection to this world. Like all of you have done many cuts. You have given up meat eating, which is a strong bondage to karma, to bad karma. You have given up intoxications, which is a very important part of material life. You have given up excessive sex life, and some of you are very renounced in this regard also. Most of you are very renounced in this regard and follow four regulative principles. And in this way, there is already some cutting away from the world. Please do not think that, oh, I'm still a little bit interested in some entertainment or some stories which I see. This is not so problematic. This is the cultural need of a human being. O Brahmana, a devotee who understands that the shelter of the Lord is very difficult to attain, and who also understands the distress of material life, such a wise person should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You know, this is very important, these two understandings. The world is what it is, insufficient to satisfy the soul, and the Lord is difficult to reach. I must have the shelter of a spiritual master. Such a person will go in this direction. And then there are some descriptions of what we should look for as a bona fide spiritual master. He should be peaceful, non-envious, devoted to Lord Krishna, not interested in things that have no relation to Lord Krishna, not engaged in activities that have no relation to Lord Krishna, filled with spiritual virtues, free of anger and greed. We should look. He should be learned in the science of the nectar, mellows of Lord Krishna, and he should be expert in glorifying Krishna. So then the devotee, this person, approaches such a person who is a dear devotee of Lord Krishna, who is glorifying Lord Krishna. And this the disciple should also have certain qualities. Would you like to know the qualities of a proper disciple? Good. He should have faith in his spiritual master's feet. This is a way to say he should have faith in his spiritual master. He should be completely devoted to his spiritual master. And he should have a motivation in his life. The right motivation for the disciple is he wishes to have liberation from this material world. This is how we come to our spiritual master. We want to have liberation as the goal of our life. Then it said what the disciple does in relationship to a spiritual master. He offers a service, and this service to the spiritual master is always very seen as the direct path to liberation, because he contacts in this way the Guru Tattva. There was once there's a very nice story which is told in Vaishnava circles. It's about a story of one disciple of a spiritual master who always served him as his personal servant. The Guru would give his lectures on near to a river on the other side of the river. The disciple would wash the clothes and make it ready, because after the morning sessions the Guru would do his noon duties. This is usually the noon bath, and he needed new cloth. So it's described that once the disciple was in a difficult situation, because the river which he usually passed by wading over it had so much water that it must have been monsoon, that it was not possible to go over the river to see the spiritual master and give him the cloth. So the disciple also had no boat to cross the river. The boat was on the other side, because his guru and the disciples who would learn from him every morning had taken this. So, but still the disciple tried to cross the river in some way. He wanted to do his service. And it said that at the time when he entered deep water, some mystical lotus flowers grew, and he stepped from one lotus flower to the next as a lotus bridge to reach. You might say, that's a nice story, but what could it mean in modern times, please? Well, what we have seen very, very much, those of you who know this, you know, especially I saw this very much in the old times, but also nowadays I see it often. When you are really dedicated to do your service to your spiritual master, all of a sudden the ingredients for the service are supplied by Krishna. Also Krishna gibt plötzlich die Dinge, die man braucht in dem Dienst, wenn man seinem spirituellen Meister dienen will. This is the incredible, success story of the Hare Krishna movement. As you all know, we now look at the past of ISKCON with two feelings. We look at the nice things, the success stories, but we look also at the things which we have to improve. And today I would like to tell you the success story. You know, when we were serving our spiritual master, things became possible which are usually totally impossible. Krishna just arranged these things in our lives. I remember how we distributed books in difficult situations. I remember how so much Lakshmi came to us, we don't even know from which sources, to even buy a project like Goloka Dham here, and so on. And those who know in difficult situations, Krishna had appeared in our service in many wonderful ways and empowered us. Anyone who wants to do service to his spiritual master and is so determined to do so knows how all of a sudden there is a divine empowerment. It's almost as if you are a small business who wants to do something. You have good ideas but no money. So when the greater business, a greater companies see he has such good ideas and gives a lot of capital investment, you can do many things. Imagine, for instance, our Vishwadev. Vishwadev has this very nice Govinda production, prasadam production all over the world. But Vishwadev is not as rich as Aldi. Aldi is a supermarket chain. Then we can say, isn't it? We can say. Now imagine Aldi would see this Vishwadev has such good ideas. His products are so wonderful. His energy kugel, kokosnuss ball, mango chutney, mango ball, is the best thing which could ever happen. We will support this man so that he will give it all over, spread it all over Germany and put it in the Aldi. He can have his place in the Aldi supermarket chain. They would give a lot of investment. The Vishwadev could build temples and could do so many things because he would become very wealthy by this investment of a powerful thing. So if Lord Balaram sees that you want to serve your spiritual master and you are there limited to your own degrees, then Lord Balaram will personally empower you so that you do wonderful things which are just very, very difficult to do. There's a verse which says, someone who serves his spiritual master, he will be, if he is a layman, he will cross over mountains. If he is a blind man, he will see the stars in the sky. And if he is a fool, he will be able to speak very nicely. I still remember when I was a young devotee, there was the German TV, they asked, they came in the temple and they wanted to make a TV show on the Hare Krishna movie, and the devotee said, you should give the lecture to the German people. Me? I'm only for 3 months in the temple. I don't know anything except I like halava. No, you speak. So what I did is I prayed to Prabhupada and I took a page out of my type machine. I was at that time translating the Bhagavad Gita from English to German, and I simply read what I had just typed to the German populace, like I had seen politicians do, you know, look and then look at the TV. And my grandmother phoned me and said it was fantastic. My grandmother always saw me on TV. She died, and so yes. So empowerment comes by Lord Balaram. So then the verse comes: Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, is the crest jewel of all deities, and the best. He's the best. One should worship his lotus feet alone. One time only, one should accept initiation into the worship of his lotus feet. This is said by the wise. I mean, this verse will make us look again at the reinitiation, or we will look again maybe at the that now sometimes devotees do guru hopping. This is not in the Guru Hüpfen, this is a new thing in Kali Yuga. It's not here in Sanat Kumar Samhita. So one should approach the spiritual master's feet, offer service to them, and learn the truth by repeatedly asking questions. So now a new point is introduced. If we have a spiritual master, we should continue to ask spiritual questions as to go further in our spiritual way. Happy at heart, the spiritual master then teaches the sacred mantra to the disciple who is peaceful, who has faith in his spiritual master's feet, and who is surrendered to his spiritual master's feet. He had said how you get more and more instructions from the spiritual master, and you get the mantra from him, and then it's discussed that you sit down at the initiation fire, and you get a Vaishnav Tilak, you get the mantras, you get a name ending with the word Dasa. I think we all have this name, or Dasi, if we are a Mataji. Then after the initiation, this is sometimes not done in our tradition, but I think it's very good. The wise disciple should affectionately and devotedly feast the Vaishnavas, and then he should worship the spiritual master with garments, ornaments, and other gifts. In other words, after the initiation, there should be a feast for all the Vaishnavas, which should be which should be arranged by the disciple. I'm sometimes in India living in an area where a lot of initiation takes place, and you always get invitations. Come to this, come to this. For the feast. And then one should give presents to the spiritual master, and so on. This is a little bit wonderful relationship or the wonderful process of initiation. My dear devotees, today is Balaram's appearance day. In the evening, we will hear some very nice pastimes, and we will sing, and I've heard We will also chant one kavacha. Hari Venu, how long is the kavacha? Is it sehr lang? Oder? Then maybe you, Hari Venu Prabhu, can maybe make some photocopies of this kavacha, this mantras which will protect you. We will chant this before the picture of Krishna and Balaram in the evening. It will be a nice little ceremony. But this morning, I really want to talk to you about the relationship with the spiritual master. It's a relationship which we should always think about and which we should always cultivate. Yesterday, in preparation to this lecture, I read a little bit about Prabhupada, and I found a very nice thing which I want to share with you at the end. It shows us how it's very difficult to understand the Guru Tattva. How it's very, let me say, mysterious even. Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela and he asked us, how do we know that Krishna is God? What would be your answer to this question? I'm interested. How do you know? How do you know that Krishna is God? When I read this question, I said, how do I know that Krishna is God? I mean, I have faith in Krishna that he is God, but how do I know it? I was like you. I was looking. Yeah. Maybe hier Murali's answer, please. Yeah? Was würdest du sagen? Interesting answer. The answer of Murali, which satisfied her heart at the time when she asked the question, is if there would be no Krishna, a person like Prabhupada would simply not exist. Yes. Mm-hmm. Brief answers like Murali's are wanted. You can please don't try to give now a huge argument. Yes. So I have heard from my gurus and the line of the guru that Krishna exists, and I feel there's a substantial ground for this statement. Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting answer which Rasa Viharini has given. You will see Prabhupada gives a similar answer. Rasa Viharini says, in everyday life, Krishna shows us that he is present here. We can perceive him. And she said also, through your own guru, you can understand this, and so on. So Prabhupada's answer on this occasion in Kumbh Mela is very similar. Prabhupada asked the question, how do you know that Krishna is God? And he said, when you chant his holy name and when you serve him, wunderbar, herzlich willkommen, then you can actually feel in your heart that Krishna exists. I found this answer very nice. When you chant Krishna's holy name and when you serve him, you can feel his divine presence in the heart. So Prabhupada asked the same question again in this time it was in Los Angeles. And the devotee who was there in Kumbh Mela was smiling. Now I know the right answer. I heard Prabhupada asking the question, how do you know that Krishna is God? He said in Kumbh Mela, if you chant his name and you serve him, you feel his presence in the heart. So this time in Los Angeles, the Gurudas is his name, said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I know the answer. You know that Krishna is God by chanting in service, and then you feel it in your heart. Prabhupada looked at him and said, no. The scriptures say that Krishna is God. That is how you know that Krishna is God. And Gurudas was going, in his mind, but Prabhupada, in Kumbh Mela. now. And then he reflected in his book, I'm just reading this book, that Guru Tattva is very difficult to understand. You can't put him or put it in the box. And here again, I feel it's so necessary, my dear devotees, to distinguish between the Samasti Gurus and the individual Gurus. Sometimes we feel that our spiritual master is a human being, and we see the things which are human in him, and so on. When we have difficulties with the human aspects, we should pray to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas and have association with them. But we should also be flexible and open and work on that relationship, so that whatever is human is not in the way. Because Lord Balaram works through the Guru Tattva, and we should just know how to contact him. It was not easy for all of us Prabhupada disciples to be with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was chastising us severely, oops, and so on. It's never easy to understand the Guru Tattva. It's always a work. It's always a very difficult a journey which we have to do in order to reach Krishna. It's always a journey which requires the utmost of our own sincerity. But if we are sincere, understanding well that this world is not my home, and understanding that I require the difficult to attain shelter of Lord Krishna, then we will approach Lord Balaram in his many forms, one of them being the Guru Tattva, and we will take his help with enthusiasm in our path. I always remember the wonderful verse of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who has said, my path is difficult, I require help. I require the walking stick of the mercy of the saints. So I want to request all of you on this day, the Balaram's appearance day, to meditate about this aspect of Lord Balaram, and to become happy in your heart, and so on. I also want to now say how we want to celebrate his appearance day. As you know, on the days of the Lord, we wait with our eating until the Lord has appeared. It's like when you expect a guest to come, you will wait with your eating until the guest comes, and then you will feed him and afterwards eat. So Lord Balaram appears in noontime, and we will offer him noon prasadam. I think the noon offering starts at 1:30, you said, or 12:30? 12:30. So, Saranandi, when did we write we will come in the temple? Yeah, I thought 12 o'clock we will make nice bhajan, so that Lord Balaram eats with nice bhajan music in the back. we will offer a lot of honey to him. If we would be in Vrindavan now, we would put honey in a clay pot and then we would bind, blindfold us and try to hit the thing like the cowherd boys did and when they were with Lord Balaram in the pasture fields. But we are not in Vrindavan and we are Germans. It might be a little bit too much for us to get bathed in honey, and we don't have so much honey also. Actually, I have a lot of honey. So we will offer honey, and then we will take our feast. Then you please take your prasadam. And then in the evening, we thought of coming together in the evening time again, and we wanted to just chant the Balaram Kavacha. We will make a nice little ceremony out of it so that all of you and all of us will be protected by Lord Balaram for the rest of our lives. That's the idea. And we will hear about many pastimes. I think I will try to narrate to you a very, very powerful pastime which will make you happy in your heart. It's a very difficult pastime to look it up again in the Gaga Samhita. But I feel very great inspiration at this moment. Good. So now it's 9:30. It's a little late. Hari Bol, schön euch zu sehen, Kinder. Narottam und Raghunath. Ihr seid zu Balarams Erscheinungstag gekommen. Herzlichen Glückwunsch. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol Satya. Hari Bol. I think we will end here our little class because it's late. And or do you have an urgent question at this moment? Okay, one question of Sabina. Yes, Sabina. How can we develop more faith in our spiritual master? It's a very interesting question, which is addressed by Jiva Goswami in a slightly different context. The context there is, how can we develop at all more faith in general? And he says, for devotees who are intellectually minded, there is a very interesting process. The process goes like this. The devotee first goes and stays with devotees, and then he accepts Shravan Gurus, in plural, devotees from which he hears about the scripture. Shravan Gurus. Shravan means hearing. And as he hears more and more the transcendental scriptures, he will try to understand 5 points in the scriptures. The main point, the Siddhanta, the proofs for the Siddhanta, two other points which I can which I can tell you later. I don't remember them, to be honest. And then, if he has understood the main points of the scripture, the Siddhanta, and the proofs which bring us there, then he should render service and to Lord Krishna, and then by this process he will develop faith. Now there's another type of devotee who has a great taste, and he just hears about Krishna and his faith is born. His faith is already there because he's such an ecstatic devotee. So I think this general guideline how to develop faith can also help in a person who is not yet initiated and who wishes to develop faith in a spiritual master, what he will do is he will hear a lot. He will understand everything in the proper way, and he will do service, and then the faith will arise in the heart. I did this process in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, and it worked in my case. Hare Krishna. So, let us thank you very much for your question. And thank you very much for listening. I hope it was worthwhile for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Lord Balaram ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.